You know, all these guys, everyone's got a story.
Yes.
And I tell it to, so when we hire a young coach, I'm like, all right, here's chapter one. We're going to start writing your story. And just trust me, your next time you're going to sit in front of somebody or you're going to have some type of conversation, like, they've went through what you're going through, and some of them worse.
Sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the world's favorite youth baseball podcast, Clearing the Bases, featuring Coach Jimmy Filangieri. I'm David Friedman. I want to thank you for coming along on this ride with us.
There's a lot of things going on down in that trade show about technology and all these different plates and mounds and balls that do all kinds of crazy things. If you can throw strikes and pitch, you got a chance. I don't need all that to tell me, you know what I mean? Like, if you throw the ball over to White with a little bit of conviction and some intent, you got a chance to win the game.
Okay, we're going to keep this thing rolling here with the second of many guests that we had the pleasure of speaking to at the 2024 ABCA convention. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation with Carl Nichols, and I promise you, this next one with head coach Jim Chester of Gardner-Webb University will be just as enjoyable. We cover a lot of topics, from looking for that blue-collar player, how we go about setting up a team culture, and how important it is to not only represent your team, but also remember that you are representing the name on the back of your uniform as well. I also want to give a big shout out to Ken Carpenter of the Athlete One podcast. I had the pleasure of visiting with Coach Carpenter last week and can't really describe how much I enjoyed the conversation we had. It was really a lot of fun. So go ahead and check out his podcast at athleteone.net. That's athlete1.net. I'm sure you'll appreciate the great content that Coach Carpenter is putting out there. Now, let's jump into the show with head coach Jim Chester. All right, guys. So our next guest is Jim Chester from Gardner-Webb University. He is the head coach there. And let me tell you something. This is an honor for me. You know, Jim reached out and talked about coming on the show, and I grabbed it right away. And it's great to have you here, Jim.
No, thank you so much. Excited to be here. You know, this is what awesome setting here at the ABCA Podcast Row. I'm pretty sure, man, I had to, like, look at my badge a couple times earlier. It's my 21st convention.
Is it really?
Yeah. So it's going through, and then I think this is the first year that they've done this.
Yes.
This is amazing. It's amazing. So honored to be here.
I mean, so you're going into your sixth year now, right, at Gardner-Webb?
This is my fifth season, fourth full one. My first year was COVID.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I always say four and a COVID.
Yeah. So, how'd you deal with that?
It was definitely an interesting experience, but it was, you know what, though? It was like, you know, it just, it kind of gave me a chance to, we got through the fall and 16 games that year, and really allowed me to evaluate the program and, you know, what we need to do. So
I mean, it was actually, it gave you like a running start. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, we got a chance to reset and do what we needed to do and you know, get where we thought we needed to be. So, you know, it wasn't, probably the worst part about it was, you know, being in April and sitting on the couch, and my wife's looking at me like, you need to get out of the house.
Yes.
I'm not used to you being here. Yes. You know what I mean? Get out of here, you know, so that type of thing. But no, it's been a great experience. Gardner-Webb's a special place, and just, you know, I'm honored to be the head coach.
Yeah, so when, and I'm asking you, like, a lot of questions I'm going to ask you are for selfish reasons, okay?
Please, yeah.
Because I just got hired in a new position, okay? I went from being a JV head coach to now I'm a varsity head coach. So I'm putting my program together. So when you got hired 5 years ago, what was the first thing you did?
Well, hire staff. You know, I really recommend anybody that that has access or wasn't there to see Jay Johnson speak this morning. It was unbelievable about putting together a program and what you need to do and the different benchmarks and the checklist type stuff. And I mean, it's about people, right?
Sure.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. So I mean, like, you're only as good as the people around you. And you know, it's you know, I've learned if you try to rush to, I mean, because again, you try to, like, you need a staff, right? And it's like, it's, you know, you don't want to miss out. So sometimes you rush into some decisions and different things. And I've learned that, you know, you to get the right person, it's timing. So, you know, if it's a decision's quick, then it's got to be quick, if you know. But also, too, you need to take your time and vet, you know. And it was listening to him this morning made a lot of sense to me. And it made kind of, you know, you want to find the best person for the job of what they're going to do. I mean, it sounds so elementary, but it's like, so if you want this person to do this, you want to find the best person that can do that. not just because of experience or this, that, whatever it might be. I mean, all those things are pluses, but if they're good at doing what you want them to do, like, that's the right person.
So that's really interesting, because that's what I'm struggling with. Right off the bat, okay, so the first thing I did, tried to look for staff. I got to build a staff. The program had nothing. There was only me and a JV coach, and it's not easy. It's really not, to try and find those people. But being that you just said what you did about taking your time, I'll be a little bit more patient now, because now I was looking at it, oh, got to get somebody, got to get somebody. Well, no. To your point, wait until you get the right person.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and listen, everybody's different, and I don't know your background, but I'm not a pitching guy. Coached a lot of good ones, a draft guy, different things that it's been, I know what one looks like, but I don't, my skill set doesn't allow to coach them on a daily basis. So it's important to me to always hire a pitching coach. Like, I mean, that's very important. I'm going to get the right guy, the right person. You know, I think we've really done that. We have a gentleman with us, Rob Hardy, who I was, I've been trying to hire for like 5 years at different times and different things, and finally worked out, and he's here. He came from Rice with us, and he's a stud. He's the best, and it just allows me to sleep at night.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
That I can go, and I know that down in the bullpen is taking care of him.
Absolutely.
Now listen, there's a lot of things going on down in that trade show about technology and all these different plates and mounds and balls that do all kinds of crazy things. If you can throw strikes and pitch, you got a chance. I don't need all that to tell me, you know what I mean? Like, if you throw the ball over to White with a little bit of conviction and some intent, you got a chance to win the game if you can pitch.
So, again, what you just said, perfect, all right? And here's why, all right? You're at a higher, much higher level than I am, okay? So I'm dealing with, even with the travel world, I'm dealing with kids from 13 to 18, let's say, before they get to you, all right? They don't understand what you just said. They don't know, because they think, oh, geez, I want to go play for Jim Chester at Gardner Webb. I got to be able to throw 98 miles an hour. Well, that's fine, yes. I mean, you have to have certain velocity to pitch at that level. But if you can't throw a strike, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, it's funny. Clint Hurdle's going to be our guest speaker at our fundraiser in February. He's here.
Yeah.
And what an awesome guy. I mean, it's funny. I introduced him to Rob. We started talking about some pitching stuff, and he just – There's the 2013 National League Manager of the Year, managed in a World Series. He's at the mecca of all of this, right?
Sure.
He's sitting there going, like, he's like, if you can throw a changeup in any count and you can compete in the zone, you have a chance to pitch at any level. And it's like, it's just so basic. And here's, you know, one of the, you know, best managers in the last 20 years.
So,
like, so it's important to me, like, I have to ground, not our pitching, but just in general, our feeling, like, hey, listen, we're going to be able to throw a changeup. And we are going to be able to understand it's very important that we throw two strikes within the first three pitches. Jay was saying this morning, it was amazing, just about how to simplify and communicate. Like,
sure.
Like, just make things, make simple, and it helps too. Because listen, we're in a generation too. Players want to know why, which is fine. It's great. And I embrace that now. And then if you make it simple, you get a lot of less of the why. The more complex you make it, then there's more to pick apart.
Right. Right.
You can do this, you can do that. So
right.
We try to make things very simple.
Well, what you said about the changeup, okay, so I love it because you're reinforcing. Ryan Forrest, Boston College, was on the show. We talked about change-ups, okay?
Yeah.
Wayne Mazzoni from Sacred Heart, okay, who's now a recruiting guy. You know, that's what he does. He's no longer a pitching coach. We talked about change-ups, okay? My high school players, when we do our catch play, all of my pitchers have a change-up grip. They look at me like I'm crazy. You know, simple catch play. But why do we do it? Because we want to make them comfortable with the change-up, with the grip, and also the fact that if you don't have a change-up, it's going to be harder for you to get to that next level, right?
If you can throw a change-up in a 2-0 count, like, you have elevated your stock of who you are at such a high level.
Sure.
It seems so simple.
Yeah.
You know? Not to get completely off that, but, like, I mean, like, our infielders, like, it just make it simple. I will go and explain to them, like, we get done with our throwing program towards the end, and I was like, okay, I need you to take 90 seconds and play catch with a change-up grip. And then they look at, why? I was like, when you make a rushed play or you turn two, a lot of times you're throwing the ball with a full hand. Or change. So
that's a great point.
I want you to do this now. And so when we do the play or the drill or whatever it is, it isn't the first time you're doing it. Because there's a likelihood you're going to throw it away. Now it's going to be muscle memory. And they look at me and they're like, oh, that makes sense.
You know what? That's another tool in my toolbox now because I'm going to do that.
Well, no, it's, yeah, and you know what? It's funny. This is why we're here. I can remember vividly. Rich Price used to be the head coach at Kansas, an infield-type guy, guru, one of my first conventions here. When you used to get the presentations on VHS,
yeah.
That's how far back
yeah.
I'm going. Okay? I remember going to his presentation. I still have the VHS, and he talked about throwing with a changeup grip. So ever since then, about 15 years ago, I've made sure that's a mental note that we try to, you know, put in with our players.
Yeah, one of the things that Mazzoni said was when the kids are sitting on a couch, watching TV, he said, hold the ball and change up grip.
Yeah.
Just hold it, just to get used to
muscle
it.
Memory.
You don't have
yeah.
to throw, just get used to it.
Yeah, so again, I feel like I'm Jay Johnson's agent, but like this morning he talked a lot about the 10,000 hour rule. I mean, it allows you to create that, to master a skill and the muscle memory and all those type of things, and like every minute that you can do something more. But yeah.
Absolutely.
So no, absolutely. Cool, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. So the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about is, again, being, you know, going back 5 years and being a new coach and going into a new situation. Talk to me about culture. How do you develop culture? How do you instill your culture on your team?
You know, it's funny because even though, like, a new coach, new pro, new everything, like, this is my fifth job. And so, like, trust me, I haven't arrived or like I knew everything or whatever. Everything's got its different challenges and different things. But, you know, I just, you know, we're trying to, our three pillars that we really work off of is selfless, relentless, and blue collar. And if we're going to do that, like I have to live that. And so it's important to me that like every day that I'm doing, being selfless, and I am trying to do something for somebody else. And, you know, when I make a decision, I'm thinking about somebody else before I make that decision. And being relentless, I do feel like, you know, I have good work ethic, and I take pride in that, and I'm going to work at it. I'm not the smartest, and I don't know everything, but I figure over the years, the more mistakes I make, I try to learn from them. The only way you make mistakes is by doing.
Yeah, I was going to say, none of us are, you know, Einsteins.
Yeah, no doubt. And being blue collar, like, is important to me. Like, just, you know, I was born and raised in the Pittsburgh area, and it was kind of that, kind of, you know, beat into your head that, like, you got to work hard, you got to get up every day, you got to grind it out, and I want our players and our team to do that. And so, you know, I don't have this spreadsheet or like just Word document about like how to build a culture. It's just like I'm trying to find like-minded players that are following those pillars of success that I believe, and we're going to live that out as coaches, and we're all going to be together, and we're going to work really hard. We're just going to really believe that like we're going to get out of what we put into it. And I really think that the way you practice, the way you go about your business, the way everything that we do, like, you know, it's going to result in success.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I truly believe that.
So it's more about your actions than actually what you put on paper.
I agree with that 100%.
Okay.
I mean, I like you said, it's actions speak louder than words,
sure.
Right? I mean, it's like I said, if I sit here and I'm going to tell guys, you know, you got to work hard, you got to be blue collar, you got to this, and I'm the last guy, and I show up at noon every day, like, well, I mean, this guy's a clown. You know, it's not the piece, you know what I mean? But it's really important that, you know, we're going to do that. And I wake up this morning and, like, I wanted to be the first one here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like somebody's on my tail because, like, someone's getting early. They're getting a better seat for me. They're getting a better, like, I mean, I'm still competing against myself on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So all that's, like, really important, you know what I mean, as far as it goes. And I still have that burn in my belly to do that type of stuff. And I hopefully that some of those traits, you know, whether they're good or bad, I think hopefully they're infectious.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing I love that you said is the blue collar, because I am 100%. In line with that, okay? My background is, I mean, I'm still an electrical contractor. I still work as an electrical contractor
yeah.
now. I coach high school baseball. You know, I coach travel ball. I do the podcast. I'm involved in all of this stuff, okay? But my background is blue collar. So
right.
I look at my players. I want somebody to have that type of mentality.
Yeah, no doubt. You call them field rats. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, you want to, that still wins. I mean, exit velo's nice, spin rates, all those type of things, but the tough kid, like, I mean, for us, right? Like, we can't go out and get the same kid SEC schools are getting.
Right.
I've got to find a guy that may be a little undersized, But he's a tough player that wants to get his nose to the ground, wants to work, and we're going to outplay and outwork people.
Right.
I mean, that's a formula to success.
Right. Yeah. Right, yeah. I mean, again, I'm in the same kind of situation. New program. You know, they haven't been doing well. I only have what I have. You know, it's only the kids that are in the school. I can't go out and recruit kids. I have to take what I have.
Right.
So, again, that blue-collar mentality, you know, let's take the extra 90. Let's make sure they don't take the extra 90, that type of stuff, to create that mentality.
You know, I believe wholeheartedly. I mean, listen, talent's really important. And I think culture is kind of a fake word in so many ways.
Like, interesting.
You know, I just think there's a lot of stuff out there about culture. You're going to read it, and there's all these different acronyms that can be used and all this type of stuff. But I think what's like, you know, like, it's what you're doing and how you're living it on a daily basis is more important. And like, when you go out on the field, I think baseball is a great anomaly where, like, the team with the best exit velos or the best velocities and spin rates, they don't win the game. It doesn't show up. It's the team that can create more runs than the other. And sometimes to create runs, there's selfless acts that have to happen on all phases of the game. And that doesn't always come from the most physically talented player.
Right.
It comes from the guy that plays the hardest and is the most cohesive within the team.
Right.
So, like, I just think baseball, you know, I think football sometimes is different, right? I mean, you get mono guys. I mean, yeah, if this guy's 300 pounds and he's the strongest and the fastest, the 220-pound guy is going to get ran over.
Right, he's going to lose.
Baseball, yeah, it allows me. That's what's beautiful about our game. I use this a lot of times. Like, our football team had a good season this past year. They had a nice job. But here's the deal. Like, if they went and played Georgia, they'd lose 100-0.
Right.
At least.
Right.
We go play Georgia one game on a Tuesday, got a chance to win.
Got a chance to win, yeah.
There's a legitimate chance to win. We've been lucky. We've had a few of those over the years.
Yeah.
You know, we had 3 Power 5 wins last year. And, you know, some of those schools spend more on baseballs than we do on our whole budget.
Yeah.
So, but baseball's different. It allows you that opportunity to, it's where the variables in those different character, culture, habits and characteristics can come to the forefront.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
No, no, it definitely does. But a couple of things you said about the culture. Okay, so one of the things I live by is you are what you allow. Okay, so again, without getting too crazy with, you know, culture this, culture that, culture, that's pretty simple. You are what you allow, okay?
Yeah.
So whatever you let your players do, that's pretty much the culture that you're setting. So, and again, what I always tell my players as an example is, you don't give me a hard 90 down the first base, that's a problem, okay?
It's a problem.
That's a problem, right? That's my culture. That's what I allow, or what I will not allow, put it that way. And then the players understand that just by your actions should be able to set that.
You know, I learned a little trick with some of that. Some of it's like the hard 90, right? Or taking the extra base, the dirt ball read, hustling on and off the field, whatever, you know, some of the things are more important. They're all important. Like, I always say this, right? Like, I say this to, like, when somebody doesn't run a ball at the first, especially in the fall, and they're one of our better players, okay? I will pull him aside and I'll explain to him. I'll go, okay, when you do that, okay, that action, every action has a reaction, right? So let me tell you how this works. You don't run hard to first, right? Let's go first and foremost, okay? What's your last name? And he'll say, Chester. He said, okay. You got a father, you got uncles, you got a grandfather, you got a legacy. We all have a legacy. We have a name, our family, right? You have now showed that your family is lazy.
Perfect. Right? I love it.
And they look at me and, like, you know what I mean? I said, what would your father or father figure or whoever it is in your life, what would they think about you not going 100%?
Yeah.
Okay? That's why. I said, look around. I said, these are your friends, right? This is your friends, your friends. I said, you just let everybody down here by not running 100%.
Okay? I love that.
I said, 90 feet, right? I was like, this game of baseball, you love it, right? I love it. We all have a passion for it. This has been around a lot longer than us. The game is way bigger than us.
Yeah.
Okay? And the game, we've all heard this is a lot like life, right?
Sure.
So the game then, it'll tell you Like, it tells you what's going on. It tells you when you're done playing. It tells you what level you're supposed to be at. It tells you you will reap the benefit. I said, when you're going to see, you don't have better things coming in your future because of the way you're going about your business.
Right.
It won't reward you. It will not give back.
Right.
Okay? And it's a lot like, and again, we're a strong Christian institution.
Love
and I
it.
Say this a lot to our guys. There's a lot with baseball that does that too. When you treat people well and you are very ethical and you are go about your business being selfless forever, God will reward you in your life with what you're doing.
Yeah. And it's, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I'm saying those are some of the things that I, and that's how I handle some of that. Where 10 years ago, I come flying out of the dugout. What are you doing, you lazy? Da, 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 you know what I mean? Yeah. It just doesn't work.
That doesn't work.
But I've found that to work to be a little successful. And the next time they hit a ground ball to short, you move a little different down to first base.
Yeah. You know what? I want to get off of what I was just going to say. The Christian part, okay?
Yeah.
Huge. All right? When I was a head JV coach, Archbishop Stepanek High School. The one that I have now, varsity coach, Our Lady of Lourdes High School. Okay, so both Catholic high schools.
Yeah.
One of the things I've noticed over the years is that a lot of high-level baseball people, Division I coaches, you know, just high-level baseball people, are very religious. Now, you mentioned something about a Christian-based organization. Talk to me about it. Is that by accident, or is there something to that?
There's probably something to that. I mean, this game drives us crazy, right? I need the good Lord by my side. No, it's you know, Gardner Webb is a very strong Christian institution, and you know, it's a place where you can express your faith. You know, I mentioned before, I've had five jobs. I've worked in 3 private schools, and I've worked in 2 state institutions, and some places you can voice your faith stronger than others, and Gardner Webb's a place where you can do that, and this is something I'm proud to share. I've just had some conversations with some people here that have done this, but we're going on a missions trip in October.
Great.
We received a gift. We're going to the Dominican Republic, and I'm really excited about taking our team and doing that, and I really, we're going to get to do some baseball stuff. There's no doubt it's part of it. But we're going to be able to give back and really show our players what it means to pay it forward and to give them an understanding of, like, a life-changing experience on how they can help people.
I mean, that's what it's all about, right?
That's what it's all about.
It's all about. That's fantastic.
It's about paying it forward. And it's about helping people. Yep. And I mean, that's just not me. This isn't just podcast speak or trying whatever. I mean, I try every day to pay it forward. I mean, the game's done so great to me. I wasn't a pro. I was a above average Division III player. I'm proud of that. Spent 11 years at that level, coaching and playing. But, you know, baseball's been done so much for me, and it's allowed so many doors to open and different things in my life that I owe it to the game and all the people that helped me to go help other people.
Right. But what you just said about, you know, being at the D3 level as a player and then being there for 11 years and then making it to where you are now shows your tenacity, okay? And you have to have that grind, that drive. I mean, like I said, with me, I've been coaching for 20 years straight. I started coaching back in like 1981, okay? Long time ago.
Yeah.
All right? But like I said, I have a full-time job. Baseball is not my...
Right.
I put a lot of work into it. I put a lot to get to where I am, okay? Right. And I think that people have to understand that you just don't walk on a baseball field and say, hey, I'm the best coach on the face of the earth. Because, again, I'm talking more so towards youth coaches, because a lot of times with youth coaches, there's problems with egos where, you know,
I see it.
So you understand what I'm trying to say. I mean, I'm sorry. I know it's a convoluted way of saying it.
You know, when I first got into this 21 years ago, now I see this, like, it was ingrained in your mind and it was ingrained here, like at the convention, that, look, you got to get into this. You're going to make no money. You got to work really hard and you got to be able to relocate. You got to be able to do it. And we've done all those. I'm blessed to have a rock star wife to where we've been able to do that. And it doesn't work for like, I've seen a shift in the last 5 years. And I mean, I like to use this platform to, you know, I'm getting questions now, like young guys want to be GAs or whatever. When I'm hiring guys, they're going, you know, do I get a car? Do I get a phone? Do I get, like, and it's like, no, you don't. You got an opportunity to grow your career.
Wow.
I was like, and I said, I'm going to work with you. I get as much gratification of players developing.
Sure.
As I do coaches.
Yes.
I really enjoy watching guys develop and grow in their craft.
I could, along those lines, I could tell you, years ago I had a kid. I'll try and make this really, really short.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, big kid, he was 13, big for 13, lefty, right? Hey, kid, you ever pitched before? No, coach, why? Well, my little league coaches never let me pitch. So I said, okay, here's the ball, let him throw a few pitches. All right, come, you're going to play with me this year on my travel team. Kid wound up pitching at a Division III college. Kid wound up playing at a college level.
Great, yeah.
Kid that nobody ever gave a chance to. I love that.
Yeah, no, it's out there. I mean, and again, the guy, and he probably thank you for the rest of his life that he got that opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
And it's great. And there's nothing wrong with that's Division III baseball is amazing, and there's nothing wrong with it. They play great baseball.
Yes.
And, you know, it should be embraced that way.
Yes.
It should be really embraced.
Every level. Look, I don't care if you are playing, you know, at the smallest of small JUCO colleges, the smallest of small D3 colleges, okay? You know better than I probably do. What percentage of high school players play college baseball? Yeah. What is it, 7%?
It's I don't know the number. It's not, yeah. It's like
7%.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't care where you're playing. That's a huge, you're one of the best of the best. All right, you're not a professional, okay? Those guys are freaks, okay? But come on.
You know, the playing, talk about that, and coaching and something like, I tell all the time, it's amazing. You go watch these guys that spoke today, like, you know, I mean, I've listened to Tim Corbin speak, Jim Schlossnagel's speaking, like these guys. And again, being a young coach, or it was, not as much anymore, but like, I follow, get careers, and, you know, all these guys, everyone's got a story.
Yes.
And I tell it, so I said, when we hire a young coach, I'm like, all right, here's chapter one. We're going to start writing your story. And just trust me, your next time you're going to sit in front of somebody or you're going to have some type of conversation, like, they've went through what you're going through, and some of them worse.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I could tell. I got a lot of story. I mean, I've got stories. There was sacrifice. There was a lot of, you know, and like I said, it wasn't easy. And then, you know, and then obviously to get to where you want to get, the path just can't always be easy. There's going to be valleys. There's going to be bumps. There's going to be, and that's part of the story.
You go back to, I wish I could remember what year it was and which issue it was, but if you ever get a chance, go back and look at the archives of Inside Pitch magazine. I wrote an article in there about the path to becoming a coach, the path to coaching, okay? And the reason why I wrote it was because my path to where I am was not typical. It's not like most guys. I didn't play college baseball. I barely played high school baseball. And it's not because I didn't have the ability to play. There were different factors, but whatever. To your point, yeah, everybody's story is not. And I'll be honest with you. I used to be ashamed to tell people that I didn't play, you know, varsity high school baseball. It used to bother me. But in the end, I said, eventually, I kind of embrace that, okay, because it's a way to show coaches that, no, you don't necessarily have to play for Gardner Webb to be able to come out and teach kids how to coach.
No, you
kids
don't.
Kids in baseball.
No. Yeah, trust me, I've been living that forever. I mean, it's amazing. We look around this room. I mean, there was just a big leaguer standing over here that played in the big leagues. And then I've seen, and here I am, I'm Division III baseball player, which I'm proud of.
Yeah.
But, like, I that doesn't mean just because he played in the big leagues, which he's a good coach too. I'm not trying to him specifically, but he's not a better coach than me because of that. I mean, you hear this all the time. Sometimes that people think that like a sixth grade teacher is smarter than a second grade teacher.
Right.
That's not true. They might teach more advanced content.
Right.
But it doesn't make, you know, that doesn't, the same thing here. Listen, there's junior college coaches here in D3. Like, they are studs. They are unbelievable coaches.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something to be said about they stay at their programs, they do what they need to do, they're in a great place, they want to live. And listen, every time you get a job, you want somewhere where you got a chance to win.
Sure. Yeah.
It's fun to win.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to be somewhere where you got a chance to win.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So if someone's found that and that niche and what they want to do and how it works, it doesn't mean they're not as good a coach as a Division I coach. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, no.
I got all the respect in the world. I lived all that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've always said that, believe it or not, I believe that guys that played at the very high levels, the majority of them are not very good coaches, okay? And I might be going out on a limb by saying that, but my experience has been that they're not, and the reason why they're not is because, again, when you play at a high level like that, all of it comes natural to you.
It comes very easy to them.
So they can't understand why you can't do what I'm telling you to do.
No doubt. So, yeah, there wasn't a lot of fight and claw in a lot of ways. And it's hard to relate to, like, when the player can't do what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, because they were able to just do it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I mean, they get frustrated. I've seen it a million times. Or what's even worse than that is guys that have played, and I've been around a lot of guys that have played, you know, minor league baseball that are now instructors and travel ball guys and stuff like that. And they think, I shouldn't use that word on the podcast, they have huge egos, okay? And that drives me crazy, okay? Because, yes, you had a good thing 30 years ago. You made it to a high level. But you know what? This kid right here needs you now, not to show him what you were or what you did. They need you now.
There's two types of people in baseball. Humble and ones that are about to be.
There you go. I love that.
And it's and listen, yours truly's that. Listen, I've had seasons where we've won 36 games. I've coached seasons that we've lost 36 games. And it, you're only as good as, you know what I mean, that year that you went in so many ways. And it's, you know, I used to think I was the man, you know what I mean, sometimes when I was a little younger, and the game told me real quick I wasn't. It's a growth
that
piece to that. But I say it all the time. I tell our coaches that. I tell our players that. I said, there's just two. We're going to be one of two people here, okay? All right? I use a couple now. And that is one. We're either going to be humble or you're about to be, right?
Yes.
I said, you're either going to be a know-it-all or a learn-it-all.
Yeah.
We're going to be a learn-it-all. That's
sure.
That's where we're going to go through our daily. And that's some of the culture thing.
That is important, what you're just talking about, as far as being humbled with parents to understand, okay? Because, again, a common thing in youth baseball now is kid plays on Team A. Kid's a stud, okay? But maybe Team A is like a C-level team.
No doubt.
So they think he's a D1 player, okay? Until you take him and you put him up against a Triple-A team, now he's humbled and the parent gets humbled. Typically, the parent gets embarrassed and lashes out, which is a lot of the problem, my feeling of why we have these problems that we have with youth baseball.
Well, in travel baseball, the word elite and the word prospect are used very loosely.
Yes.
I mean, everybody's the prospect. Used to be a prospect was a singular, like you were an identified person that could play professional baseball, and that's kind of changed in so many ways. But yeah, it's I listen, we deal with it with freshmen every year. It's just so I try to be very, very upfront and try to really communicate with them. Like, this is going to be really hard. It's going to be really tough. It's going to be so different than whatever, you know what I mean? It's going to be very, very difficult to, you know, do what you need to do and grow the way you need to.
The biggest jump is from high school to college. The jump from college to professional baseball is not the same as it is for high school to college.
It's not. No, it's not. I mean, listen, a lot of guys, talent-wise, draft guys, they're equipped to play single-A baseball. The biggest difference there, it's funny, I talked to some people about it, is like the guys that play at the big power fives and then try to go play single-A baseball, they struggle with it because they're playing in old parks. Travel's not as good.
Yes.
You know, you're Gardner Rabin, you want to go. We do single-A stuff. We love it.
Yeah.
We love it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want any other way.
Yeah.
Oh, trust me. And then years past, I've done things, negative-A stuff. You know? But they're great stories.
Yeah. So, all right, we're gonna wrap up. But what I want to get from you is your advice, what would you tell young coaches? Or I shouldn't say young coaches. Coaches that are coaching young kids.
Yeah.
What would your advice be?
And this is the hardest thing, and yours truly's got to do it. Be patient.
Okay. Yeah.
Patience.
Yeah.
Right? My other advice is take the time to teach the game. Encourage young players to watch baseball. Watch the game.
Yeah.
Okay? Ask the players' questions, right? Have them know, talk about the play inside the play.
You love it.
When the ball is struck or it goes somewhere, everybody's got to be doing something.
Sure.
And everybody's got, and I, that, some of that gets, our game's starting to become more one-on-one. Like, you see much more of the pitcher-batter training, the just the singular type stuff where kind of the team aspect, the different ends of the intricacies of the game, you know what I mean? The game is complex. People don't understand that.
Yes.
The game is simple, too. This, the rules are simple. It's easy to follow. But the game inside the game is what's complex.
Right.
And being able to get players to start thinking about what that means and how it works, you know what I mean? From simple, from double cuts and dirt ball, I can go give you a list of things. But just try to grow the kids on some of those aspects, you know what I mean? More than, I call it like the video game feedback, like what's my exit velo, what's my spin rate, what's my, which I do think some of that is important, and I've grown to that. I consider myself a hybrid, you know. I've meshed that with being a ball coach and trying to get the best out of the players that we can. But being young, though, the game inside the game.
Yeah.
And just like when something happens, make note of it and then communicate it to the players after the game.
That's great.
I'm seeing less and less in that. Like,
yeah.
And this will be the last thing, because I could talk about this all day too, but like, listen, being a defensive replacement is important.
Sure it is.
Being a bullpen arm is important.
Yes.
Laying down a bunt is really important. A sacrifice bunt is a big deal.
Yes.
Okay? Running first to third is very important. I can go through the list. Like, these need to be ingrained in kids, like, where, you know, I just don't think it happens anymore, like, in so many ways.
Well, you had said before about being a selfless player. So it all goes back, like you said, to sacrifice bunt. You know, in other words, you have to be willing, and coaches have to teach players that it's not about you, it's about the team. You have to be selfless, okay? You're going to give yourself up, okay? And again, to what you said before about being able to move, one, I use this all the time. If there's a play at third base, your right fielder has an assignment that he should be doing.
He absolutely does.
And let's teach them that, so that by the time I get him at high school, I could refine things, and then I can hand them off to guys like you, and you guys will have full, well-rounded baseball players.
Yeah, and that's getting a little less every year. It's a little less. And I just, you know, I don't know, the days of, like, I just remember playing Little League and I was 11. And I, you know, you kind of had to wait till you're 12 to, like, play a lot. Now it's, you know, everybody's playing every inning all the time.
Yeah, you.
And there's no wait and see, you know what I mean? More guys are playing baseball as freshmen in high school than I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, playing and starting and. Where I just wasn't the thing. I don't remember, 20 years ago, that wasn't a thing. Like,
well, when I did it.
25 years ago, yeah.
Okay, so when I did it, there was no summer baseball, all right?
Yeah.
There was Little League, high school baseball. That was it. Then the rest of the summer, you went and you played in the schoolyard or you played in the streets. That's what we did.
Yeah.
It wasn't any of that. To see from, you know, from my perspective, what goes on nowadays with the $600 bats and the freaking sunglasses and the war paint on their face,
yeah,
and stuff. What are we doing? Teach them the game. Stop the bullshit.
I guarantee I haven't coached a player in the last 10 years who's played in a sandlot game. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
We used to play pickup baseball all the time.
Yeah.
We could probably have a whole other podcast about sandlot pickup baseball.
Oh, you're kidding?
That used to be my summers.
Yeah,
playing
of
pickup,
course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Playing pickup. That's where you learn.
Yeah.
You know, I used to play a lot of rundown, too. There was a game. And like, that's where you learn how to, you know what I mean? Where that, you know, guys don't play rundown anymore.
The gentleman that was on here just before you, Carl Nichols, okay, former major league player, we were just talking about that. The things that you learn as a baseball player by doing it yourself, because this way you're making the decisions, you're going to learn by making mistakes. It's priceless.
Priceless.
Priceless. And people are paying thousands of dollars for these kids to go and get trained, and they're becoming robotical.
Yeah. This would be the last thing I'd say about this, too. Like, I think it's somebody that listens to this. You know, the big thing now is about player development, right?
Sure.
And every kid that we get comes into the program, they've got a hitting instructor, a fielding instructor, a pitching coach, a speed trainer, this kind of thing. You know, us as college coaches, we got 40 players. Like, we can't give 25 individual hitting lessons every day.
Right, of course not.
We can't. Where I think sometimes that's the expectation.
Yeah.
you listen to any big leaguer, like they're most of them are self-made. Yeah. They had great guidance, they had some good coaching, but they're self-made. You know, and again, I'm not saying we're passing the buck on the player, but if your growth and development has a lot to do about what you do outside of practice, what the decisions you make, what you put into your body, everything. I can go all up and down the list, but like you've got to put the work in too.
Well, I mean, I could say, and I'm going to use the analogy of my business as an electrical contractor. Okay, years ago when I was an electrician doing the actual work, okay, I learned more by doing it myself and figuring out. Did I blow things up? Of course I did. Okay, did I short? I made mistakes, but believe me, you learned faster than somebody telling you and you trying to remember what that guy told you to do.
100%. Now, you and I got some of the same experiences, there's no doubt. So. I just haven't blown too much up, a little bit.
Jim, I got to thank you so much for coming on.
This
glad
was
you,
amazing, Jimmy. Thank you.
Yeah. Anytime you want to come on again, you know, I'll follow Gardner website.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. Please do. Check us out. No, we're excited about the 24 season. I feel like we have a really good club, and we're excited to go compete.
Excellent. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right.
I really hope you could hear the excitement in my voice when I'm having these conversations with these great coaches. There is just so much that these guys have to offer that we can all use to become better coaches. I mean, if you can't hear it, then I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't be coaching baseball. I don't know. But what you need to do is you need to go out there and you need to join the ABCA. There is the power of, I forget how many it is, it's 18,000 coaches, okay? Everybody from the very top of the best coaches in the country all the way to youth baseball coaches that are trying to get better. We can all learn from each other. And I think that these interviews only further that, where you could listen to these guys and take what you can from what they have to say. Believe me, if you put the time in, just like anything else, I mean, we tell our players all the time, you got to put the time in. You got to put the time in. Well, you know what? As coaches, we got to put the time in too. So put the time in. Join the ABCA. Use all of the resources that they have to make us better coaches. Just do it. So we have a lot more episodes coming from the convention, so stay tuned, because you will find that all of these coaches understand that people really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you in the next one.